in my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, as a kid, the priest said that at the beginning of every sermon. And then for me and my family, sit down. It meant for my dad, the engineer, that he would begin timing the sermon. And so while the priest was saying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, dad would do this so the whole congregation would see and then check his time on the clock. Later, and for years, he said, dad, how was church today? 14 minutes and 25 seconds. I always thought, or for a long time I thought, that it would be at least as appropriate for the preacher to say the previous verse. Who can tell how often he offends, cleanse me from secret heart, secret faults, above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. The preacher's prayer. In the gospel passage for today, Jesus goes back home. He has been in the wilderness for 40 days and nights, tempted by Satan. He has been baptized by John the Baptist. Now his public ministry begins, and he goes back to the place where he was raised, Capernaum. He goes to worship, as was his habit, and read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He reads a part of the scripture that is one of the suffering servant songs, which have been long regarded as a prophecy of the coming Messiah. But some rabbis argue that the words in that song and in other songs was not specifically talking about a person so much as it was talking about the nation of Israel, that we have become alike to the nations, that we have obligations to the poor and the hungry, to the oppressed. After Jesus reads that passage, he closes the scroll and says, today this reading has been fulfilled in your hearing. A lot of us will take that to mean that the Messiah has arrived, that the one to bring good news to the brokenhearted has come. But there's a lingering thought that maybe Jesus means us instead of me. That it is our obligation to tend to the poor, to feed the hungry, and bring good news to those who are oppressed. I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad you are here as well. It is a great joy and a great privilege to serve as your bishop. It's a great joy and a great privilege to be part of a baptism and confirmations as we bring more of God's children into this part of God's church to help us bring good news to the oppressed. When I was in seminary at Sewanee, there were several members of my class who would very often go to conferences and educational opportunities. They would go to Chicago and San Diego and New York City, and then they would come back and tell the seminary community where they've been and what they've done. I sat in the back of the classroom with all the other smart alecks in my class. And we began to wonder why nobody invited us to go to Chicago or New Jersey or all these places. It was the hot dogs. It was the ones who sat up front and who worked real hard to make A's on every paper. In the back of the room, we thought B's would be just as good. In my second year of a 3-year seminary program, a friend of mine who was in the class ahead of me named Wayne said that he had been invited to come to Mardi Gras by a priest that he had met at General Convention. And would I like to go too? We would only miss 3 or 4 days of class. And I said, oh, gee, I don't know about that, missing class, going to Mardi Gras. Let me see. Okay, I'll go. We took Wayne's Dodge Duster, another classmate of his named Scott and his wife Jill, and the guy from the class behind me named Chris. We decided that we would justify this by saying that we were going to the largest religious festival in the United States. And we let the dean know that when we got back, we would be willing to give a full report of our adventures and what we had learned. I grew up in Mississippi, and I've been to Mardi Gras several times, and I was the only one that knew what we were doing, and so I was sort of the unofficial guide. The priest that my friend Wayne had met had a church on Canal Street, and we stayed in the rectory. And so we were on the parade route, but still we took the trolley into the French Market. What's it called? Not the French Market. French Quarter. We went to the French Quarter most every day. And we were amazed to see all the evangelists out. There were teams of evangelists yelling at us through bullhorns and seeming quite intent on having no fun at all. One team of evangelists carried a wooden cross through the quarter, through the crowds, with a sign on it that said, "Jesus died for you," and the words "die" were in red letters that were dripping blood. I was horrified. My friend said, "Come on, let's move away, but I wanted to talk to him," and they saved me from that. The night of Mardi Gras, that Tuesday, we all got dressed up in our costumes. Actually, Scott and Jill got dressed up in their costume. Chris and Wayne had enjoyed the previous night too much and were unable to go. I dressed up in my Sewanee academic gown, and I put a sad clown face and wore a blue bandana on my head and had a blue tear coming out of my eye in makeup. We caught enough necklaces. We did not catch any coconuts from the Zulu parade. We did get moon pies and doubloons. And by that time in the proceedings, I was just sort of tired of it all and wanted to be by myself. And so I went to Jackson Square and sat next to a light pole and sat down on the sidewalk, leaned on the light pole, and whistled. I love to whistle. And I was bouncing my whistle off the wall. And it sounded pretty good. It sounded good enough so that several people walking by assumed I was a street performer and gave me coins. A professional whistler now. Other people came by and gave me Mardi Gras beads, and I already had a lot of them, but it was a gift, and I said thank you. After a while, two people came up and looked down on me and were not going to move on. I noticed that it was a young man and a young woman. The young woman had a Bible in her hand, and I thought, oh, this could be bad. The young man said, noticing my tear, he said, "You know, I've been crying tears of sadness recently too." And I knew that it was a lure, and I just was kind of, my lips were getting sore from whistling too much, and I decided to take the lure, and I said, "Oh, why?" He said, "Because of people like you who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ." I said, "Have a seat." And we began to talk. The young man and I began to talk. The young woman, every time something was said, would look through the Bible and find the appropriate verse to throw in there. Usually by the time she got it, we'd moved on, but she threw it in there anyway. It turns out that the young man's name was Mark. He was a seminarian at Bible College in Ohio. He told me all about the college, all about his church. And after all, he asked me why I was there, and I said, I'm here for the party. He said, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a student. He asked me where, and I said, at the University of the South, which he had never heard of. He said, what kind of school was that? And I told him I'm a seminarian also in the Episcopal Church. He'd never heard of the Episcopal Church. You know, I was all set in my dark heart to feel better than this guy, to dismiss everything he had to say. You know how we Episcopalians are sometimes. But it turns out that he was a sweet young man doing the best he could in the service of our Lord. And I think he recognized that in me as well. The young lady sort of gave up on us when we started agreeing with each other. She stood up and with her Bible and told me that she would pray for me. I said, please do. Mark and I talked for a little while until it was time for me to meet Scott and Jill at the public bathrooms there on Jackson Square. And I wanted Scott to meet them as well. And so he came and did. Scott was dressed as a mule trader with a big, he was from Texas, he had a big hat on and a mule's teeth necklace. It was very convincing. Jill was dressed as an Indian squaw. And as we were there, with the people having a good time, all of Mark's judgment of me faded away. He said, God bless you. I said, God bless you. And we promised we would write. And we never did. And I hope he's well, doing the work of the Lord somewhere in Ohio, in some church very different from this. If a hand says to the foot, boy, I wish I was a foot. If the nose says to an eye, I'd much rather be an eye. And the body is not well served. If we all say we would like to be priests, then the body is not best served. All the priests say, I'd rather be a bishop. I would say, think about that for a while. We need bishops and priests and deacons. We need people to sit in the pews. We need people who are more conservative than I am and more liberal than I am. We need all of the various parts of the body so that we can become the one who brings good news to the poor and binds up the brokenhearted. We have to do that together. It's part of our job as the body of Christ. And it's not easy, and it's not always fun, and it's never, almost never convenient. And you have to get all dressed up on Sunday morning. You have to put money in the plate. I promise that God would not love you any less if you just stayed at home in your PJs. You have been called, as I have been called, to love and serve the Lord and the people of God. And how will you do that? How will you serve God? How will you serve God's people? I don't know. But you do. In the service of baptism, in the service of confirmation, we renew our baptismal covenant. And it's a time for us again to say, here's what we believe. And here's what we mean to do about it. that part of the service comes up if I ever stop preaching. I promise I will. Let me invite you to take seriously what you said. If you are an Episcopalian, chances are you've seen these words before. Don't let that get in your way. Don't let the fact that these are familiar words take the power away from them. If you are visiting from some other part of God's church, or if you're not a member of a church and this is your first time here, think about what you're being asked to say. Do you believe in God? God, what a question. Really and true. Not because of what Mama said, or because somebody made me come here. Do you believe in God? This is an important question for the rest of your life. We join with the church through the centuries in saying, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Yes, I do. And here's what the church teaches us about this, and this is what I believe. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? And then we go on to other questions that are more difficult. Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers? Will you continue? Will you be a part of this community or some community and give yourself to the life and work of the church? Even if it's not convenient. Even if the guy two rows behind me picked me off last week. Even if Lee is not perfect, just like all the rest of us are not perfect. Even if your bishop turns out to be a bonehead after all. Even if some other bishop says or does something we wish he hadn't said or done. Will you continue? Will you persevere in resisting evil and turn around to God every time you mess up? You'll have opportunities to mess up before I even stop talking. Will you turn around? Turn toward God? Will you proclaim the good news of the love of God and what you say and what you do and what you don't say and what you don't do? Will you proclaim the good news of Jesus? The answer to all those questions is, I will with God's help. The good news is that you have God's help. And all we're waiting for is you to decide to offer yourself into service. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Well, let's think about that. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, even the ones that we don't like, even the ones that don't like you, even the ones that pull for the wrong football team, vote for the wrong guy on election day, who don't look like us or talk like us or act like us? Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons? Even fundamental seminarians from Ohio. We strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being, not because they deserve your respect, but because they're God's children too. It is into this faith that you and I are called. It is into this faith that this young lady is baptized. These other people are confirmed. And it's not always easy. And it's almost never convenient. We offer ourselves into the love and service of our Lord and offer God's grace and God's love and God's mercy to the children of God in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Amen.